Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
You know, brothers and sisters, this whole body is something that's on a collision course with death. Don't matter how much faith you got, how much prayer you have, those things don't matter. Time numbered. But on the other hand, it's awesome to have peace in a living God, that the afflictions could come and the sorrows or sicknesses and things, and we have an advocate with the Father. We could stand, we could believe, we could pray, and we could trust. Amen. And He moves in our behalf. And sometimes these things come along that He could show Himself, and sometimes these things come along that He could remind the people who God is. Amen. And sometimes in the adversities and the things, people get themselves turned around and straightened out with the Lord and be where they should be. But the thing is we have a place that we can go before the Lord, the physician. You know, it's not a matter that these infirmities or things won't come. It's a matter, brothers and sisters, that we have a covenant with the Lord within a healing virtue. And that's what He has in store for us. He wouldn't have took that severe punishment upon Himself unless He was doing it with you and I in mind. Amen. So we have to believe and we have to trust in that and stand. Amen. So brothers and sisters, there's a time to get before the Lord, and there's a time to pray. There's a time to believe, a time to trust, a time to eliminate and cast out doubt, and to cast out unbelief and fear. Amen. And the thing is we should be walking in such a place, as Paul made a statement. You know, this was an awesome brother in the Lord and a man of God. He said, hey, I fought the fight. I've kept the faith. He knew his time was rolling around. And we should be at such a place in God and our walk with the Lord that, you know, hey, Lord, I know that this life is full of misery and sorrows and troubles and perplexities and complications, you know, but hey, let me use this old vessel and use it for the glory of God and do something to win a soul into the kingdom of God. And when you're done, praise God. Here I am. I'm ready. Hey, if you enter into your reward at 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, 80 years old, 20 years old, whatever it is, say praise God. Amen. And that's the place we have to be with the Lord and have that kind of a peace and that kind of a trust. Amen. Chris isn't the first man I've prayed with, spoke with, talked with that the doctors have given their report. Won't be the first one nor the last one, but I just don't always believe what the doctors say. I've seen him wrong too many times, and so many times people we've prayed for right here in this church, in our church over on Greeno, and over in things, they get a diagnosis from the doctor, and then when they go back and say, oh, well, we misdiagnosed this. This is what it is, or this and that, and we say, okay, praise God. They're not going to give the glory to a living God. They're not going to say, oh, yeah, you know, there's a supernatural thing that's taking place in your life. We've seen the x-rays and different things that's come back through and different things and say, hey, it's gone, can't find it no more. Amen. You know, and those are the kind of reports I expect to hear. They don't surprise me. It's like, wow, you mean it's gone? You're kidding. You mean it's really gone? No, that's what my expectation is, to hear those things and to see those kind of things happen. Since we're talking about these things, we say, well, how do these things happen, Brother Rom? And there's only one way to please God. There's only one way to know God. There's only one way to see His handiwork, and that's by faith. If you have no faith, it's numbered to you as sin, according to the Scriptures and the Word of God. And the thing is that if we're going to get a hold of the kingdom of God, if we're going to have a prayer life and speak to our Heavenly Father, if we are going to see the virtue of a living God, the one way that that's going to happen is by faith. Amen. There's so many things in understanding faith, and we speak about faith a lot because that's the strength and the foundation of everything that we live and everything that we do. Many times, brothers and sisters, we lack to exercise a spiritual gift of faith within our life. And sometimes we can get on easy street. Sometimes everything could be going so fine. This is the condition of America right now, in a situation that Americans don't have to apply faith. We've got a welfare department. If we get in financial trouble, you know, we've got help there. You know, we got churches on every corner that's helping people when they get into problems and trouble. The preachers aren't preaching against the activities of the world and the things of the world and the frolics of the world. So there's no need to get faith to come out of the world, because they're offering everybody in this day and hour of the world, hey, man, you could have the sports. There's a pastor out there. He started out with an alcohol-free nightclub to offer the Christians. You couldn't tell it from a regular nightclub. I went into this one back in the late 80s, one of them. I didn't go there during the business time, but I went into their church service. You know, they didn't serve alcohol, but everything else was okay. I mean, they danced, they grinded, they bumped, they done all the worldly things, and they just eliminated alcohol. Thought, well, hey, you know, this is a Christian. This way we're Christian. You see, I don't believe in that. That's not, Christian people don't have no business out there in that kind of a frolic atmosphere and that kind of thing, and it opens up for every unclean whoremonger and harlot and everything, and it was just all she could find is filth. But now he's progressed on to having several nightclubs, and now they're selling alcohol, and he's still a pastor, still well-known out there in the area, but he owns nightclubs that are selling alcohol. This is the condition of the church, brothers and sisters. You say, well, I thought we were speaking on faith. Well, this is what I'm saying, is that America has come to a place when the preachers aren't preaching against sin, so they're not going to have faith to overcome the things of the world. They're not going to have faith because they've got their medical science and they've got their healing medicines and they've got all these things and their doctors, so they don't call upon the Lord. So faith is something that isn't exercised too often, even in the religious realms of our country. And it's something that people don't see, and many people don't even believe. There's so many lying signs and so much foolishness in the name of the Lord that there's a condition of even a shipwrecked type of faith in this country. You know, faith again is something that I believe is a very misunderstood and very seldom used thing. Sometimes infirmities and things come to you and things come in your life that you're going to have to get a hold of faith or else. And sometimes the Lord allows those things. I've shared with you being in foreign countries at different times, and some of these people, they don't have the welfare program. They don't have the government checks. They don't have the food on their tables, and many times they're before the Lord and they're trusting, they're believing for daily provision. And those people, many times where the Bible says the poor receive Jesus gladly, and many times those people are in better condition. I could tell you that the people of Romania, when I was there, were in better spiritual condition when they were a country under communism and they did not have the freedom to worship God, because when those people went to church, they knew that they were putting their neck on the line, that if they were caught worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would be put to death or incarcerated for sure, and some even put to death. And when those people went, they went with business. They didn't just come lasciviously or just come. They went to church and they meant business, and they were there by faith and believing that God would blind the adversary, that they could even worship. And then people knew how to get a hold of God. But now that's like America. They've introduced the European culture, the American culture, and the televisions and all the stuff, and they've got their Benny Hins and all of them going over there into the land, and they've got themselves in a weak condition, and it's turning all the same way, which it has to go that way, because we know that this great and terrible day of the Lord, that the whole world is going to come into the same thing, that's all being bundled together. And we find many things as the Muslims are taking over throughout the world, the Catholics are bundling together, and all of these different kind of people are bundling together. The Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses have done their evangelism throughout the entire world, gathering their people together. So we know the day and hour that we're in. But again, I'm speaking of faith and saying that faith is something, brothers and sisters, that we need to start utilizing and walking in and exercising. You realize when you don't use a muscle, it gets weak. And it'll just dwindle away and you won't have that strength. But when you exercise the muscle, then you could build it up. And you could put yourself in a position to exercise it, even if you're not using it, but you exercise to keep it healthy. And sometimes we come to a place that the Lord puts us in a place that we have to start exercising things that maybe we haven't utilized. We might even use the term of taking advantage of. Sometimes people, as much faith as they've gotten, the time they think of faith is, you know, they pray once in a while and say, Lord, I got faith you're going to sanctify my food. You know, Lord, I got faith that you're going to keep me in work. And those are good things and fine things. But brothers and sisters, that's daily provision and daily living, and that's daily talking with our Heavenly Father. And we should glorify in those things, but there's times that we could exercise faith by stepping beyond our means. You see, we as Christians or as the ministry or whatever, if we only exercise faith in the realms that's attainable to us, we haven't really exercised supernatural faith. You see, we could have what we would call and think we have faith is, you know, I'm going to sit down in this pew and I have faith that's going to hold me up. A man could be a mechanic like Brother Randy, and he said, well, I got faith I can pull this thing apart and put it back together. Well, see, that can be a supernatural faith when somebody doesn't know how to do something, prays and says, God, I don't have the finances to fix this, and you're going to have to help me. And that could be a supernatural faith. But then on another hand, there could be a faith that's applied to your intellectual perception capabilities. I'm going to go on a trip. I got faith that my credit cards will carry me. I've got faith on this, and I got faith on that. You see, and that's really not exercising the supernatural. The supernatural, you'll find yourself in a position that there isn't anything you can do. Your finances won't work no more. Nothing works. And all of a sudden you're in a place you say, wow, Lord, I've never been in this kind of a place before. You know, Lord, I've always had an avenue, a way here. Well, I had the doctors. If you didn't touch me or heal me, you know, I had the doctors and the medications. Lord, if this didn't happen, I've got the friends that would help me, or I got the welfare, or I got the food stamps, or I've got this and I got that. But there's some times that you'll come to a place that none of that works. That everything is exhausted. That the only thing, you got one place to be. And that's an awesome place to be, because then you get to see the hand of the Lord move. It can be a frightening place to be if you are an individual that really hasn't worked or saw the hand of God and moved by faith. It could be a fearful place. But fear, brothers and sisters, is the reverse of the faith that I'm speaking about. And even though that a man that walking by faith, Satan will come and try to perplex his mind with fear. And when that fear is overtaking and you find this fear dwelling up in you and swelling up, and you find this fear, then faith is in reverse. And it's something that is going to hinder that faith. You know, we don't question the ability of Jesus being God. We don't question the ability of Him having all power and all authority. We don't question if He was the Anointed One or wasn't the Anointed One. We don't question if He had faith today and didn't have it tomorrow. We don't question those things. We know who He is and know that all of even the impossible things were made possible by Him. But then yet we come to understanding in the Scriptures that there wasn't miracles taking place in His hometown of Nazareth, and there was one reason why, and it was unbelief. You see, if we are going to try to encourage and to build faith, but then we have to sometimes speak about what the enemy of faith is. Because if we don't understand the enemy of faith or the adversary to faith, then we're going to go into this faith with just a will worship of a mindset of an intellectual thing, when there's something there that is going to be destroying that faith and trying to destroy hope. When we think on this, we think of faith, hope, and charity. And there's nothing that can come against that. Nothing. Death can't. Sickness can't. Poverty can't. Nothing. Nothing whatsoever. When you have those three things, absolutely there's no lack of any way such kind at all within you. When we think of adversity, brothers and sisters, if we think of Brother Chris's case of sickness or disease or a death warrant, we might say, or we see another individual that all of a sudden it looks like his world or his business is collapsing and folding in, or we see another individual possibly, maybe his marriage is crumbling and falling apart, and you say, my, you know, where is their faith at? You see, brothers and sisters, this isn't what makes us question faith. This is what builds faith. This is what gets a person that they could even inherit the kingdom of God. Because there's so many people that are going through life believing that they have salvation, but it's an intellectual thing, and it's never really came to a really experienced faith. Let's read in Hebrews 11th chapter, and we're going to read a little bit about faith, and we're going to find out, we're going to talk about the manifestation of faith. What makes faith manifest? Amen? If we go to chapter 11 here of Hebrews, let's read some. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'm going to read a little bit here because there's a lot of expound that could be said. Right there, I could stop right here and we could expound on some things, awesome things. But let's read on a little bit. I'm going to back up and read verse 3 again. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You see, brothers and sisters, what is there that is unseen? There was something that was unseen that made something that is seen. And faith is what made this invisible thing come into an appearance. You see, three and one are exactly the same thing, saying it in another perspective. But if we're taking something that is not, or something that's invisible that you can't see, and taking this invisible power of the Spirit and making something that is seen. You see, if a man has a sickness in his body, you say, well, that sickness is something that is seen. You could see that. But by faith, you could see the deformed, the sick part, the corruptible part, and by faith of the uncorruption, by faith, you could see the thing pure and whole. And this is by faith. You're seeing something in the invisible realm, and you're going to believe that thing by faith to something that is seen and appears, or it's not faith. So when you could believe, like the little sister that we prayed for here in the altars, they said she could not have a child. You know, there was problems. But by faith, we saw in the Spirit and believed and spoke a word of faith by the utterance of the spoken word. The same Spirit that framed this world into an existence, the same spoken word spoke forth and says, we don't believe that report. We don't receive that report. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. The doctor says you won't have a child or never can have a child, that your womb is barren. But we don't believe that. So by faith, we spoke a word of faith, believed the word of faith. You see, fear could come and say, well, you can't say that. Prophesied over the sister right here. Either I'm a false prophet or she'll have a child. Don't matter what the doctors say. You understand what I'm saying? So the thing is, brothers and sisters, just like the little sister that's expecting right now, the doctors say one thing, but we said by faith. The same Spirit that framed the world, the same Spirit spoke. Nothing said, nothing. You say, well, is this your faith, Brother Rob? No, it's not Brother Rob's faith. This is the same faith that framed the worlds into an existence and yield to that. You see, if you're going to go on Brother Rob's faith, there's going to be a problem. Well, the Lord said to this woman, and the Lord said to the one at the foot of the cross, expressed about how great of a faith that he saw. Well, whose faith did he see? Theirs or the Lord's? They trusted in the invisible. They trusted in the unseen. They trusted in the things they didn't know. You see, this is the faith in God. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now think about some of these things, brothers and sisters. We find in faith in Abel, and he obtained this witness from righteousness. And there's things, brothers and sisters, that we don't have to exercise in faith. And there's things that kill and destroy faith. Unbelief is a reverse. Fear is a reverse, an unbelief. And this is the things that we have to recognize and see them, and we've got to go on. And if there's unrighteousness in our life, it's going to destroy faith. Well, Lord, I'm not worthy. Well, none of you are worthy of anything in God. It's by faith that he made you righteous. You can't obtain the righteousness, but he can give you the righteousness, and faith will believe in the righteousness that he gave you. And you say, Lord, I know that I'm unworthy, but I know that you made me worthy by your bloodshed. And I believe that. Brother, sister, I believe that because I've stood on that and I've seen faith manifest and I've seen faith made known. And I've walked in faith. And I know it's not by my merits and not by my goodness, but it's by his righteousness. Amen. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For because his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. See, that's what I walk in daily, brothers and sisters. I'm walking in the same faith that Enoch walked in, and I'm not here. You understand that? Now, you're thinking how Enoch walked with men and was not. I walked with men, and I am not, brothers and sisters. And I'm speaking by the Spirit, and you may not see that, but that is thus saith the Lord, and yea and amen. And I've been translated from death, and I cannot die. I'm standing on that same exact thing that Enoch, and it will come to be known of the world that's yearning and longing for that. I promise you that. That's as factual as I know of anything. Amen. We're speaking about faith, brothers and sisters. When do you start speaking faith? When do you start believing that you pass from death unto life? Are you going to have to be resurrected? I say, yep, but I've been resurrected. And it's the faith that brought me in the resurrection. It's the faith that makes me stand before you and says, I am the resurrection. You see, brothers and sisters, it's got to become real to you. You've got to have to believe his word and stand upon his word. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you come to God in unbelief and you come to God saying, well, I just question you and I just don't think that you are, I don't think you can, I don't think you heal today, I don't think that this is for me, this and that, you just limited an unlimited God. So we find here it says, but faith, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now here's a man that had to have faith of a world that's going to flood and never rained. Now I might talk to you about this world flood, and you say, oh boy, I saw this great flood. They just had a real bad one over in Africa. Thousands of people died. Boy, we've seen North Carolina over here get hit by hurricanes and people getting flooded out and dying, their homes washed away and this and that. I've seen the Mississippi come over its banks. I've seen some of the rivers out in California and the whole valley. I was out there with Dad on one of his last flights. We're flying over the northern part of California and the Maryville and all that area. The banks had overrun and it looked like a lake out there instead of a river. You know, we'd say, oh, I can see those things, but here's a man that never saw those things. But by faith he believed the report. By faith he believed that this is what's going to happen, and he changed things. I think it took faith to build a big boat too. Somebody give me an old hatchet and a, probably not even had a hatchet and a handsaw, and think, yeah, I want you to build this boat so many hundred feet long. I say, yeah, we're going to have to get a hold of some faith. Amen. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. What kind of fear? Is this the fear that's the reverse of faith? You see? Now think about it. There's a fear of God, brothers and sisters, that will generate faith. You understand? But there's a fear of the things that you see. When the Lord spoke to him, he said, don't be afraid of them that could take your life. You want fear of the one that could take your soul. So there's a reverent fear, and there's a fear that destroys hope and faith and charity. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in a tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, David, also of Samuel and of all and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. For they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Brings it right down to you, doesn't it? You see, brothers and sisters, there was many of these ones mentioned right here, most of them being going back over into the Old Testament. And think about how much more so, brothers and sisters, we could walk and exercise this kind of faith. How much more so we being gifted with the infilling of the Holy Ghost, we receiving this promise, we being caught away in the Spirit and receiving this Spirit and catching us into heavenly places, how much more so then would it be with us? You think of Moses, as said, he didn't even go across into the promised land, but look at the faith that manifested and he exercised in his life, being typical of Christ, with Christ showing this death, Moses being cut off, not going into the promised land for the people's sake. But then yet we find that these elders had received this report of faith by the things that they've done. Now what made this faith manifested, brothers and sisters? There was adversity or affliction. You would never know God as a healing God until there's an infirmity within your body. You would never know, brothers and sisters, that God is the God of life and the Spirit of resurrection until you know that you are twice dead, or that you are dead in your first birth, and that you need to be saved and need to come from death unto life. But see, there's got to become a knowledge of that. You're going to have to walk in the perspective of understanding that you are walking in a sentence of death. And when you really realize that, some it might take the afflictions of sicknesses or the report from the doctor, but you should come to a place by believing in the Word of God, knowing that when you're in health and when the doctors give you a good report and they give you a good bill, that you are walking in a death sentence. I remember when the Christian woman over there that was in prison for taking the pickaxe and putting it in her husband's head and his chest, I think 9 times. She got saved in prison. Started doing ministry in the prisons, and the Christian community cries out about the death sentence, thinking that there should have been a stay or whatever. See, that violates the Word of God. You see, but there was a death sentence long before that. There was a death sentence when she took her first breath on this earth. There was a sentence of death dwelling within her members. You see, brothers and sisters, that's where we have to come to understand. You know, what is it going to take for you to exercise faith in your life? I've had people come to me that were afflicted so bad in drug addictions, and they were losing everything, their homes, their families, and everything. And I said, praise God, you're at a place now that you could see God. That was the preparation from God, allowed the sicknesses and the afflictions for that they could come and say, God, there ain't no more I can do. And then they come to know God. You see, what is greater than that? What is greater than that than to come to know God in strength and power and healing? And the thing is we got to submit to that. We've got to believe that. We got to get a hold of this in faith. Get a hold of the things that are not seen. And we got to bring them into a substance of something that comes to a manifestation, something that we can see, something that appears. You see, there's the manifestation of faith. You see, by faith, I believe I've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And this is something that I've seen in the spirit, but it's something that's invisible to this natural eye. But the thing is the world will see that. And when I appear in that transfigured, glorified body, it is what I always was and what He always was. It said I appear like Him. You see what I'm saying? It's what I always was. I remember that there was a woman with cancer. I remember, and I've shared this testimony with you before. This woman was dealing with cancer, and it would manifest itself on her face in sores and scabs, and was even oozing and bleeding and things. And she would go to church, and people would say, are you going to go to the doctor? Are you going to do this? She said, no, I'm healed by the Lord Jesus Christ has healed me. And the people are going to the pastor and say, man, you know, she needs to do something, man. This cancer's on her face, and, you know, she's going to die, this and that. And every time somebody would approach her and speak to her, she said, I'm healed. She said, Jesus Christ has healed me. I'm healed. And she kept on saying that, and the people are getting more and more alarmed as they saw this thing manifesting more and more. And her faith never wavered, never moved. She said, I'm healed. And one day she comes to church and it's all gone. And they said, hey, when did you get your healing? She said, 2,000 years ago. That was her faith. You see, they were looking at the lying vanity, but she said, no, I'm believing the report. I'm believing what Jesus said. He said, by His stripes that I'm healed. And she believed that. She didn't waver. She didn't move. And she stood on that. You see, and when the unbelief came, when the accuser of the brethren came, when doubt, unbelief, and all that came, you know what? She said, nah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that I'm healed. Brothers and sisters, this is where we have to come to in standing with God. I encouraged an individual a few days ago that the perplexities of Satan, the perplexities of former life and things would come. And I said, just tell him he's a liar and he's the father of all lies. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how wretched your life has been. The devil's going to bring it up. And when you really get into by faith and revelation of the Lord, it doesn't matter how righteous you think your life has been. It's just filthy rags. We need to come to a place of having faith in God, into taking the sins away, the infirmities away, the unbelief away. We got to come to a place to obtain these things in faith and believing that He's given them to us. But Satan will always be there. He's a liar and the father of all lies. There's a warfare within your own members of your own flesh. And the Lord's speaking and says, you know what? This is yours. I had you in mind. I've engraved you in my hands. I've given you everything that pertains unto life. I've given you everything. And the devil say, nah, you ain't got nothing. You can't do nothing. You don't got nothing. Oh, you're not saved. You're a heathen. Oh, you've done went too far. You've crossed over. But see, that's what he came to do. And let me tell you something. He's not going to be perplexing your mind like those things if you had. He's a liar. If you'd already gone over too much, you ain't even going to be thinking on the things of God. If you come to a point that you're cut off from God and blasphemed against God, you're not even going to be being drawn by the Spirit of God. You're not going to find yourself in any kind of a travail. You're going to be right off out there in the world and perish in the world. And when he's sitting around you telling you that you're not, and that you're going to die, and that you're going to go to hell, and you can't be saved, you know that he is trying to destroy your faith. And you just got to get a hold of him and say, you know what, Satan, shut your face. You're a liar. And the more he says, the more I get encouraged. The more he comes against me, the better, the stronger my faith gets, because I know that God has got something great in store. Why would I be going through suffering unless God had something in store to show himself? Why would I be going through these kind of things unless God was going to show himself? That's what I do. I say, hey, Lord, boy, Satan ain't liking this right now because, you know, he's really fighting or he's really trying to come against me. But you know what? Praise God. I'm standing to see the manifestation. And you stand and you trust and you believe and you keep pressing and you keep going. And don't be moved and don't waver. Don't get into that old serpent trail and start wavering and going back and forth. You see, when you stumble, then he'll really jump on you. You know, there used to be I don't know if you want to call it a loyalty, looking to the abased side of things. But I mean, when a couple men would get together and have a disagreement, they might scrap, fight. You know, a guy gets the best of the guy and gets him on the ground, and he say, you had enough. And the guy said, okay, man, you got the best of me. And they walk off, they might shake hands or whatever. Nowadays, you know, there's such a satanic world we're living in. They get you on the ground, they'll jump on you and put a knife in you, when they could have left you be. But see, that's the way Satan is. That's the way Satan is. If he gets you down and gets you weak or gets you in unbelief or fear, he is going to jump on you so hard And he's going to do that. And that's what you got to expect. But don't let it move you. You got to know who you are in Christ and know what he has done for you. You know, as a child, as a little child, when you're with your father, and sometimes even as a child, if you're with your big brother, all of a sudden you're invincible. You know, when you got your brother that's 4 years older, fifth grade, and your brother's in high school, I mean, it's like he's a giant. You know, you could push your way and bully your way through things because you got your Savior with you. You know, I could go into another realm and talk about aviation. I get in an airplane and get in the clouds and the storms cracking around and popping like that. I don't like it, but I got a guy like my father that has been in them situations for years and years, and through it like that, you know, man, you just plow on through it, you know. You don't think of nothing of it. You see, and this is where we got to come in the things of God. Even if you recognize that you're weak, but let the weak say that you're strong in him. And remember that he's there with you and helping you through it. And if you put your trust and your faith and your hope and everything in him, then you'll come through it. It's that simple. But it's put it in him. Too many times we let the devil start lying to our mind, saying, well, you haven't done this and you haven't done that and you can't. Even though the ministers will start trying to get you to build your faith by saying, don't you remember you've done this and done that, to get you to build that faith up. And it's so that you could receive the things of God. But even outside of that, you got to know that it's what he's done. Because it don't matter what you do unless you know what he has done. And then you could take what you have done. Then we're talking a double portion, and you could take of what you have done and what he has done, and you apply them together, brothers and sisters, and we have miracles. This is why we have to condition ourselves in faith, in righteousness. Faith comes by hearing of the word of God. If you're not in church and not hearing the word of God, then you're going to be weak in faith, or otherwise the word is a lie. And then Satan, when he comes and he starts accusing you, and he starts doing this and that, you can say, well, you're a liar. But maybe he isn't lying about that. Maybe he's telling you, hey. So, but this is why we've got to get things in order in our lives, that we can walk by faith. There's principles in God that we have to apply. You see, if you come to me and you're in financial problems, and I know you're robbing God and you're robbing God and you're robbing God, I'm kicking against the pricks, so to speak. You know, well, why should I get down? Why should I pray when you're robbing God? I know what happens when you rob God. He blows on your substance. And you won't prosper. You come to me and you're not prospering. And you say, well, man, I've been sown, I've been given. But the Bible says you have hidden sin in your life. And you won't prosper. You see, these are the things that we talk about. It has to come into order in your life. And many times we call upon God. But the Bible says we pray amiss. You see, say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me, God. I need forgiveness. God, I've been wretched. I've been no good. Please forgive me. And he says, why don't you forgive that one that violated you? Why don't you forgive that guy that stole from you, that ripped you off, that one that spit in your face, that one that lied against the truth, and the one that done that? See, we've limited an unlimited God in our unbelief. So if we need faith, if we need finance, if we need healing, if we need anything, it don't matter, brothers and sisters, but there's an order that we come into to be partakers of those things. You see, it's easy to preach about faith. It's easy to talk about faith, speak about these things. But you see, there is things that we have to apply. If we violate the scriptures, we're not in the house of God, but there's going to be weakness in faith. If we violate scriptures and not sowing in the kingdom of God, then there's going to be a manifestation of it in your finances. If you need the forgiveness of God and you don't seem to be able to find it, it's because you've bound forgiveness up because you haven't forgiven somebody. You see, so we do. We are the only ones that could limit an unlimited God. Now, I spent a lot of time to build a foundation here to hang the phone up on the devil, but then yet we also got to know that the devil cannot bring allegations against us if we're walking in righteousness. You see, if the devil tells me, says, well, you're a drunk, you can't get nothing from God, and say, you're a liar, well, is he lying? Now, if I'm a drunk, then it's not a lying allegation. Get rid of the drugs. It might be the Spirit of God convicting you and says, get away from the alcohol, get away from the tobacco, get away from the drugs. You see, then we get to a place where we say, you know what, Lord, I can do this by faith. I can do this by your help. I can do this. And that's where we come to, brothers and sisters, in the mind of God. He has one thing in store for each and every one of us. And that's life. That's what it's all about. And the afflictions, the persecutions, the tribulations, the chastenings that you go through on this side, he's not as concerned about this side as he is the other. Now listen to me. He is concerned about you walking in prosperity and health right here on this side. But it's more important the other side. And if he's got to take it away from you on this side to bring it into a manifestation that the unseen thing is manifesting in what's appearing here for you can see what you need over there, then you need to get it in order here. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. Because sometimes it's the will of God to show those things forth. I brought some things out in a message not too many days back that there is a difference in your wounds stinking because of your foolishness, then the stripes and the lashes that you've received for the testimony and the crucifixion of Christ. They're two totally different things. And I've seen people receive the whip or the lashes because it's for the ass's back or the fool's back. And they think, well, this is because of my much revelation and I'm being persecuted because I'm a Christian. There's a difference there. Those are two totally different worlds, brothers and sisters. If somebody brings an allegation against you, and you say, oh man, it's the father of all lies. It's just the old lying devil making allegations and you know, telling me that I'm a liar or I'm a cheat or I'm a this and that. You know, but there's no truth in that. I try to be straight, try to be upright, try to be clean in the things that I do. And that's. But then yet if you're doing those things and those come, you can't say that that's a lying devil. You need to get things in order in your life. You see, so there's a fine line in all these things. And we got to find the things in the mind of God. They're not going to have anything good to say about you. And you're walking in purity and righteousness and holiness and doing the very best you can. You might stumble here or there, but when you're doing that, they're not going to have anything good to say about you. They hated him first. You see, when they say, well, no, I'm a Christian. I love God. I don't hate God. You can't say I hate God. The Bible said if you love him, you keep his commandments. And when you don't walk in the commandments of God, then you hate him. Thus saith the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. And there's people out here that hate God. And they say, I've given my life to him. I've said the sin. Prayer, I was baptized, I send my support into church, and they're haters of God. The Bible said they hate evil more than they do God. And when you're in the world, frolicking in the world, and you're partaking of the world and in the affairs of the world, you're an enemy of God. The Bible teaches that's adultery in God, that's hatred towards God. You see, brothers and sisters, we think that the hatred towards God is when we're in drunkenness and dope and all those kind of things. It has nothing to do with that. It's when you got the love of the world in your heart. When you come to an understanding of revelation, then you're more accountable. It doesn't take getting out into willful sin. It doesn't take the alcohol, the tobaccos, the drugs, or the women to pull you down. When you're walking where you're supposed to be with God, brothers and sisters, a simple act of disobedience, of not submitting yourself to the obedience of Christ, not being where he wants you to be at the given moment of that day. We should be at a place in God walking in the Spirit that he could speak to us at any moment of any given day and that we're going to drop whatever we're doing and we are going to yield to the Spirit of God. And you say, well, you know, if I did that, I'd lose my business. If I'd done that, boy, that's where you're so wrong. If you don't do what he says is when you lose your business. When you reason out things and make it more important in the mind of God, the speaking of the Lord and the perfect will of God, you won't have things anyway. He's going to remove it from you to get you into that place. It's better to walk in obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm telling you, I know these things from experience. I could tell you those things from experience. You know, one guy might be doing something and somebody look at him and says, whoa, it's like a grandfather I ran into not many days back. And his grandson's out there on a dirt bike. Boy, and the kids are getting it, man. And he's got that thing and coming in there and everything. And I said, boy, he's getting it out there, isn't he? And he said, yep, it's about time for him to get hurt. You see, you say, well, he's speaking something into existence. No, because he recognized the Spirit because he'd had that thing on him before. I was messing around with a go-kart as a kid. Dad comes by and he said, son, that thing's going to get the best of you. And he said, you better be careful, this and that. Well, it wasn't too many days later. He comes over and I'm laid up on a bed over in the lounge at the airport, all bloodied up. I slid about probably 250, 300 feet across the blacktop. And I didn't have much clothes left on me when I got done. And I had a lot of scabs. I couldn't move for 2 weeks. I laid in bed and Mama ran cocoa butter on me for I'd get things working and moving. Dad didn't come over and say, oh, you poor thing. He said one thing. He said, I told you so, son. He said, I told you. That's what he said. I told you, and he turned around and left. But you know, see, there's sometimes experience. You know why? Because he went down the blacktop on a Harley Davidson. Slid down the blacktop, down the ditch, back up on the blacktop for a while. He'd experienced something. You see, and sometimes we are at a place, brothers and sisters, we should take heed to the things that we hear. Because, you know, if a lot of times a man that's skilled with a tool or skilled with something, he could say, now, wait a minute, I got hurt doing that. You know, you better be careful. And all of a sudden, a guy that knows a tool or a skill or something, he could look at somebody and say, wait a minute, that's not good. That's not good. Dad was real good about looking at a pilot, and they come around saying, hey, this ain't good. Man, it don't take long. I mean, there's a revelation that runs in aviation to the spirit life. A haughty spirit comes before a fall, and a haughty pilot comes before the crash. Bless God, I can fly this airplane. Man, this weather ain't too bad for me. Man, I can put it down. I could do this. Yeah, you can. Sometimes they put it down in the wrong spot. Flying to the side of mountains and things. You know, you see, it's the same thing. They run in the realm. Some people are so arrogant in their Christianity. Don't tell me nothing, preacher. Bless God, I'm a Christian. I got saved in 1925. I said the sinner's prayer. You know, man, you ain't going to tell me this and that. But see, there's something that is a truth in them to have that kind of a faith. But if a minister ever offers an exhortation to a man and he stiff-necks, it's exactly like the Bible says. Well, you don't stiff-neck the Spirit of God. I was with a man, and Brother Pike went to his face. He said, brother, he said, I used to have a man helping me set meetings all around the world. And he said, all I got now is a cowboy. And we rode off, me and Brother Pete and this brother. And he says, you know, you got to come to a place, and God, don't matter what anybody says, you got to know where you're at with God and who you are with God. And the man just living in the world right now. Oh, yeah, you got to know. See, you don't ever, you stiff-neck a reproof from a minister of God. You spit in Jesus Christ's face. And you say, what are you trying to do, puff yourself up or make you somebody? I'm just telling you God's way. If you can't submit to the exhortations that come forth from this sacred desk by me, you better find a pastor that you can, because you ain't got no hope and no chance of making it, thus saith the Lord, into the kingdom of God, until you submit to yourself a man on this side, thus saith the Lord. I'm telling you. So I wish God would strike me dead before I got out this door if what I said isn't the truth. I know the Spirit of God and I know how He works. And if you cannot submit to a man that you can see, you will never submit to a God that you cannot see. It don't matter how spiritual you think you are, how much God you know. And if you can't submit to me, you better go start searching this world over and find a man of God somewhere that you could think is spiritual enough that you can submit to. Because you ain't spiritual if you don't think you can submit. Because I know what the Bible says, submit one to another. And I submit to every one of you and every one of your needs. And I've been before you. And the thing is I know where I'm at in God. Amen. I thought we were speaking about faith. That brings faith. I'm telling you this. That is the key to having faith. Without submission and subjection, you'll never see God, never know God, never understand God. You limit God. If you can't forgive a man, you can't find forgiveness from God. If you can't submit to a man, you'll never submit to God, and He'll never submit Himself to you. Amen. You'll, by the grace of God and the mercies of God, you'll see the blessings of God in your life. I know people that are walking in adultery right now, fornication, and all kinds of things, and they just feel like they're God's gift. And they're in immorality and filth and perversion and things and defile the living God. It scares me. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it puts a fear of God in me. Speaking with a man the other day on the telephone, and I mean, my spirit just breaking in me. You know, and sometimes I got to stand as an Abner and just stand strong like I'm not moved by nothing. And my spirit is just trying to break inside of me and just weep before a living God. And I can't do that. I got to stand strong and not be moved by the adversary. And show any kind of sign of weakness whatsoever at all when there is a man dwelling in there that has love for people and just wants to crumble. You understand what I'm saying? Let's stand together. I love y'all and appreciate you. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's enough faith here within this walls this evening to move any kind of mountain, to dispel any kind of disease, any kind of sickness. I'm telling you what, we're serving an awesome God. Amen. I know sometimes it sounds like there's strong reproofs and rebukes going forth, but you know what? We are serving an awesome God. Receive those things and say, God, have mercy on me. Amen. Help me. Lord God, I have unbelief in my heart. Help my unbelief. Amen. And I know that your belief and your faith and your strength has nothing to do with my unbelief, and I'm calling on you. I like what the one brother said. He said, you know, I believe you. But please help my unbelief. I'm asking you to pray for my unbelief. If you got unbelief, you pray. Say, God, help me in my unbelief. Amen. And that's a good place to start. Say, God, I rebuke unbelief. I'm not going to receive this lying devil because he's a liar. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.